Evelyn Waugh is a wonderful author. He's a British novelist who converted to the Catholic Church in 1930. And in his next 36 years of life, he speaks about how it wasn't just this conversion to the Catholic Church, but there was always this need, again and again, he said, for a deeper conversion, for a deeper conversion. And he said, quote, that conversion is like stepping across from a place where before everything is an absurd caricature into the real world that God made. And then begins, he said, the delicious process of exploring it limitlessly. Where before conversion, everything is distorted and out of proportion. You know, a caricature, right? You ever gone where somebody draws like this image of you and it's a caricature? Where your body's like this big and the head is just massive and huge ears and eyes. Everything's distorted. It's all out of proportion. And that when we're living before conversion, this is what God looks like. This is when you look at your life, this is what your life looks like. Everything's distorted, out of proportion. And even when one looks at how grace works and all these things, but after conversion, we see things as they truly are. We see God rightly. We see our life more rightly. We even see our straying and the times in which we strayed away in sin. We see that for what it truly is. But this, he says, after conversion, when we're able to see things rightly, that's when we're able to explore it and explore all of creation in our life with delight. This is when the real adventure of life begins. And one of the ways in which he explored it as a novelist was through his writings. And his greatest novel is Brideshead Revisited. The BBC did a miniseries on it in the 1980s, which is really wonderful. It has Jeremy Irons, and it's great. Hollywood did a remake a couple years ago, which is awful, because they missed the entire point of what it's about. But I actually started by watching the miniseries, which you can jump into it. It's an amazing thing, because the book, it's about this lovable but completely dysfunctional family. Which maybe it sounds like your own family. Entirely lovable, but they're completely dysfunctional, and they're Catholic, this Catholic family in England. And the whole book is one, it's about conversion and grace. But it's one in which it's seeing conversion and grace as it really is, and not some caricature of it. The first part of the book is you see all the different people in the family and even people who get drawn into their family, the ways in which they've sort of strayed away in sin. Some of them very much prodigals. Other ones, like the mother of the family, is very much a Pharisee, a hardened heart. But you see them straying further and further away in sin. The second part, though, is entitled A Twitch Upon the Thread. Because it's where you begin to see in all these incredible ways the workings of a grace and God beginning to draw all these different people back to himself. It's called A Twitch Upon the Thread, which is a line from a G.K. Chesterton series, another British author, his Father Brown mystery series. Father Brown is this priest who's also a detective. I can't wait till when they have me do that too. It'll be great. But he's this priest who's a detective who writes about when he caught this thief. And he's writing about catching this thief, but of course, what it's meant to remind us of is God catching us. Father Brown says, I caught him with an unseen hook and an invisible line, which is long enough to let him wander to the ends of the world and and still bring him back with a twitch upon the thread. An unseen hook, an invisible line, long enough to let him wander to the ends of the earth and still bring him back with a twitch upon the thread. In this first Sunday of Advent, the church gives us this reading from the prophet Isaiah, who he asks the honest and the painful question to the Lord and to himself, Lord, why do you let us wander? Why do you let us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so that they don't fear you? He's asking the Lord, which is the right question to ask, because God doesn't cause us to sin, but he allows it. God will allow us to wander far, far from him. And he's asking this question also of himself. Why do you let us wander, and why do we wander, O Lord? And later on, we hear him implicitly answer this, that our hearts wander because we can't see your face, O Lord. Because we can't see you. That we human beings are such that we need something right in front of us. We have to be able to see it at all times, because once it's out of sight, it's also out of mind. And so when we're not able to see the Lord, well, our hearts begin to wander and stray off, and they become hardened. And so the prophet, and this is centuries before the coming of Christ, he says, Lord, let us see your face. Render the heavens, tear them open, and come down to us and do awesome deeds that we could have never hoped for. He's begging the Lord to come down to us so that we can see him, so that we can touch him, we can hold him, we can adore him. He's begging the Lord to come, as the Lord will come in the incarnation, that he might show his face to us. But make no mistake why he came and why he will come again. But make no mistake why he came. He came to catch you. He came to catch you. And don't distort that. Don't have a caricature of what that looks like, but to see it rightly. That the Lord catches us, not as like when you're going fishing and you cast your line out and all of a sudden you get a bite. And all of a sudden you're reeling that thing in. And you're forcing that fish to come, and you pull it out and you knock it, and now it's done. That's not how God works with us. That yes, he hooks us, but it's a different sort of hook. He hooks into our hearts. And he doesn't reel us in against our will. Everything is with our will. But he lures us to him. And he calls us, even though we might wander to the ends of the earth, with just a twitch upon the thread. With a twitch upon the thread. But it's one in which our hearts have to be such that they're able to sense and to feel the Lord calling to us. Where in our lives he's calling us to that deeper conversion. Because our faith, our crazy Christian faith, is such that we believe things that we can't see. That the Lord now, having come to us and put his invisible hook into our hearts, is now asking us to live and to believe in him, to live in faith, to trust in him, to follow him, so that when he comes again, we might belong to him. But we believe in things that we can't see, that aren't right in front of our face in this obvious way now. We believe that when a child enters the waters of baptism, he's completely recreated, completely recreated. There's something his brand new in his soul. Even though you look at the child and nothing looks different, maybe a little bit of wet hair, oil on the head, the Eucharist, something has changed in its substance of what it is, although to the eyes you can't see it. It requires the eyes of faith. Then remember last week's gospel? In the works of mercy. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you naked and clothe you, imprisoned and visit you? When you did it for the least of these. To be able to see Jesus in the poor, in those we hate. To be able to see that Christ is present in them, even if it's not obvious to our eyes. But what's it take to see Jesus in the sacraments, in others, and even in yourself? It takes a heart that has become softened. It takes conversion. A heart that isn't hardened anymore. And what does that require? What does that take to have a softened heart? You're not going to like the answer. What it requires is waiting for the Lord. Waiting for him. It requires, in other words, patience. Which can be hard, because you're already sitting here like this. You're like, Father, when's we going to go in here? But waiting for the Lord, patience. Because that does something to our hearts. It requires waiting for the Lord to be able to receive from him, as opposed to becoming impatient and grasping and wanting to take something for ourselves and I need it now. It's the difference between Eve, who grasped to take, and Mary, who received in grace. If somebody hands you a newly born infant, think of your hands. Somebody hands you a newborn infant, you don't just grasp that child, right? And you can't have like the stiff hands. Instead, there has to be a suppleness to your hands. There's a strength to them, but there's a softness in your hands that you have to receive that child with, right? This is the same in our spiritual lives, in prayer, and as we go through our life as well. That the disposition we have to have softened hearts, is one like Mary, of always actively receiving with the strength that she had, as opposed to grasping and becoming impatient, and I need to take control of this now. It's hands and a heart like the Lord's. We hear that the Lord is the potter and we're the clay. And you know the potter with the wheel, it spins with the wet clay. The one who is the potter can't have hands that are rock solid and hard. They have to be supple to be able to move that clay as it spins in a certain way. But hands that have a strength to them as well. To have hearts that are able to receive what the Lord desires to give to us. I say all this to you because everyone, it is very, very possible, and usually what happens with most people, to go through this whole season of Advent and Christmas and to miss the Lord's coming altogether. To miss the twitch upon the thread, to not receive what he desires to give you, that you can go through this whole next month, 1 month from today, going through the whole Advent and Christmas season, and all you've received is 8 more pounds, a bunch of credit card debt, and a new grudge with Uncle Donnie. Because at the dinner table, you promised yourself you weren't going to bring up politics, but then he said that thing, and you couldn't help it, and you had to. And so now you got more fat, more debt, and you got a new grudge. That's all you can go through this season and receive. It's true. And it's what happens most of the time. But the Lord, this season of Advent, as well as Lent, is a time in which he twitches the thread. He calls us in a very specific way to a deeper conversion to him. Where are the areas of your heart that are still hardened? And he wants us to receive something there. He wants to give us something there. And so I want to give you just three very quick little things as ways of being able to soften our hearts to receive from the Lord. The first is this Advent season, go to confession. Be honest with ourselves that we stray. And this is the way, above every way else, that our hearts are softened and they're able to receive God's mercy. Every Friday this Advent, I'll be offering 3 extra hours of confession from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. to come and to receive God's mercy, that our hearts might be softened to be able to receive. Second, I encourage you, go to the Advent mission tonight and Monday and Tuesday nights. Father Sattler is speaking about, is God a person to me? Is he Jesus? Is he a person or is he just an idea? We do all sorts of things which are good to prepare our homes for Christmas. We spend a little bit of time doing that. To spend this time right as we enter into Advent to prepare our hearts for Christmas as well. And third, during Advent, just in some small way, have some time of prayer that you do in which you're able to wait and to watch for the Lord. What I'm doing this Advent, most days I pray the rosary, but not every day. And so just very simply, this Advent, committing to each day to pray the rosary. Because it's in the repetitiveness of that, in the repetition that, like Mary, the heart is able to just watch, to wait, and to receive. He's caught you. He's caught you with an unseen hook and an invisible line. And he lets you wander off even to the edges of the earth, to the edges of the world. But he desires to bring you back with the twitch of the thread. Wait for him. Watch for him. So that you might respond to the twitch. And that you might receive him with joy when he comes. Because he's coming soon.